This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah the Exalted. We praise Him and we seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils of ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no misguidance for him. And whomever he rightfully causes to be led astray, there is no guidance for him. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us in the noble Quran what is translated as, O you who believe, O believers, he is addressing us. Be conscious of Allah as He deserves. And do not die except in a state of submission to Him. O believers, be conscious of Allah. And let every soul reflect on what you have prepared for tomorrow, for the Day of Judgment. And be conscious of Allah. Verily, Allah is aware of all that you do. Another year has passed by very quickly once again. And there are people who are with us in the community who are not here today. We are now on the doorsteps, a few days away approximately, on the doorsteps of the blessed guest and the blessed month of Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan waj'alna fihi min al-maqbulin. May Allah grant us life to Ramadan and make us amongst those whose deeds are accepted therein. The reality is that this month, the majority of which has passed, this month of Sha'ban, is the month of preparation, warming up for something which is greater. The Prophet ﷺ would fast during Sha'ban more than any other voluntary month in the year. Some of the companions would refer to it as Shahrul Qurra, the month of the reciters. Why? They would recite more Qur'an in preparation for the relationship with the Qur'an that they wanted in Ramadan as a warm-up. When something matters to you, when it is significant in your eyes, when there is value in your eyes for that thing or that person, then there is preparation for it. The exam that you prepare for because you want to pass. When there's a job interview, there's preparation. When there's a wedding or marriage, there's a preparation. When you're traveling, there's preparation. How about the guests of Ramadan? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who even in these last days are preparing wisely, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, religiously, spiritually, logistically, so that we can maximize the benefit of that month. I want to focus in this short time on one major observation. One of the greatest phenomena we can observe and reflect on that Muslims experience from the east to the west, north and south throughout history and all across the world. This is the marvelous moment in which the believers transition over from Sha'ban, Asr time, to the first night of Ramadan, and it is now Maghrib. This transition is the transition that is reflected through the example of a young man in Michigan who said, I cannot change, I'm not religious enough, except in Ramadan. Why? Because Ramadan gives me hope. He said, because Ramadan gives me hope. So a person who says all year long, I cannot pray in the night, I cannot read Quran, I cannot abandon major sins, I cannot fast during the day, suddenly it's now Maghrib time, and now they are able to pray. Now they are able to recite more Qur'an. The next morning they are fasting. They are abandoning major sins. They are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're reaching new heights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their relationship. What allowed a person, what causes a person to go from that moment of Sha'ban to the beginning of Ramadan, going from saying I cannot to I can. I'm not able to, I am able to. I'm not strong enough, I am strong enough. What gives people that motivation? Because the circumstances externally are almost the same. Yes, the environment is conducive, it is helpful. But what really changed is what is internal. I wanted to change. What really changed was internal. The most powerful thing you can change is your mind and your heart. Why? Because if you change internally and you're driven internally and you want to do more internally, then the external will follow. But if you're focused only on the external at the expense of the internal, then the same things we struggle with all year, we will continue to struggle with. The same experiences, the same cycles will perpetuate themselves again and again. If you want to change, and you do see that change with the overwhelming majority of the ummah from Sha'ban to Ramadan, then know that you are capable of change any time of the year. And that observation, that transition should cause us to celebrate. That should cause us to be optimistic. That should cause us to take more action, to plan more wisely, to have more introspection. Who am I and why do I change only when I'm motivated in the beginning of Ramadan? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that change and that motivation all year round. Now, if we took a step back and looked at the reason that people are able to experience a sweetness in Ramadan, it's not because they said, I want to change. It's because they put in the effort as well. They fasted, they prayed, they abandoned major sins. They read more of the Quran than any other time of the year. So they put in the work. And that action leads to what? To more guidance. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, and those who strive. Striving means what? Jihad here means what? You're putting in a lot of effort. It's not going to be easy. If you strive, you're fasting, you're praying, you're reading more Quran, you're abandoning major sins and temptations, you're putting in a lot of hard work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more guidance on top of that. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who sought guidance through their actions, Allah increased them in guidance and gave them God consciousness, gave them the taqwa that we seek and we pursue throughout our lives. The taqwa that comes as an objective of fasting in Ramadan, of taking advantage of this blessed month. Approximately 80 to 90%, maybe more, maybe less, of capable Muslims who are able to fast end up fasting the month of Ramadan, which is much greater and more significant than the number of capable Muslims who should be praying and who are praying their five prayers, their regular prayers. Even though prayer is the first thing Allah will ask about on the Day of Judgment. Even though the prayers five times a day as a prescription for the soul. So if you feel distant, you know that you need this prescription. You need this prescription. And if you're firm, it keeps you more firm. Why is it that even in our communities, our families, relatives and friends and others, we find that even the person who says all year round that they're not religious or that they're far from Allah, even they during Ramadan will find some hope. We'll be fasting, we'll be giving more charity, we'll be reading more Quran, we'll be abandoning major sins. Why is it that the overwhelming majority of the ummah is able to take this step forward? What is it about Ramadan? And what is it about the concept of hope that allows people to take advantage of these blessed days, these limited days? We take a step back once again and we explore ayah 38 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا, expelling Adam and Hawa, as well as according to Ibn Abbas and some of the tafsir, expelling Adam and Hawa and as well as Iblis from paradise, from Jannah. But pay attention to the next part of the ayah. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. If guidance comes to you from me, if a message of guidance comes to you, meaning Adam and Hawa and all of your offspring, if a message comes to you from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, then whoever follows that message for their time or their place or their civilization, the prophet or the messenger that came to them, The one who follows the message that comes from me, there is no fear on this person, nor will they be sad, nor will they grieve. Why? This will give them their entrance, their admission back into Jannah. So yes, there's an expulsion from Jannah, but here's your key back to paradise. All of the offspring of Adam and Hawa, when the message of God comes to you in any civilization through any messenger, you accept that message. And so prophet after prophet and many messengers throughout history are sent to people, and we know only a few of their names, most of whom we are unaware of. We know of Abraham and Noah and David and Solomon. We know of Moses and Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and the final messenger, the seal of all prophets and messengers for the entire world, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace be upon him. The difference being that the final message is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be preserved. And it's not just to be preserved, it is not just a message, it is a mu'jiza, a miracle and a message in one. So the proof and the miracle of Islam is through the message and through the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This message is the message we have. When we take advantage of that, meaning when we follow what Allah is telling us, that guidance, then there's no fear on you, nor shall you grieve. That is your ticket back to inherit paradise. To inherit what Adam alayhi salam and Hawa had in paradise when they were expelled. Now I want you to keep an important point in mind here. That when Iblis was expelled as well, he was not simply expelled to an abstract or arbitrary place. Rather, his objective was made clear that he would seek to misguide all of the offspring of Adam and Hawa. So when the message comes to you, he's going to distract you. When the message comes to you, or the messenger comes to you, he's going to cause people to have doubts and to worry about these doubts and not address these doubts with scholars. When the message comes to you, it's going to cause people to become attached to this life or attached to their shahawat, their desires. When the message comes to us, La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, what do we do to live by this message every day? What do we do so that we are grateful for this message? فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ There is no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the entirety of the Qur'an, 6,236 ayat, the reference to the month of Ramadan directly, explicitly, just once. The ayah that we hear often as the month of Ramadan comes around, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. The very first characteristic you have when Ramadan is mentioned explicitly, the very first thing being linked to Ramadan, is that it is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. The first revelation to Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, and then during this month, during the month of Ramadan, on Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet ﷺ received the first wahi from Jibreel ﷺ. That wahi was taken down from where? From Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz to this world. And so that first revelation took place on Laylatul Qadr. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ The night of which is unknown to us. The greatest night of the year. The night of decree in the last 10 nights. Most likely in the odd nights. Most likely in the last odd nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who take advantage of all of the last 10 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Qur'an here as a link with Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an, meaning increased amount of attachment, love, study, reflection of the Qur'an. For you to move forward in your relationship with that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires you to connect more with the Qur'an. And if you're feeling like you have no hope except in Ramadan, if you're feeling like you've struggled all year round, if you feel like you're not religious enough, or that you're distant, or that you're not good enough, or that you're ashamed of your sins, and you find more hope in Ramadan, then focus on this aspect of the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an gives hope to all of the believers and all of those whose hearts are receptive. The Qur'an is a cure, a shifa for the hearts. Shifa'un lima fi sudur, as Allah mentions. In another ayah, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ We bring down this revelation, the Qur'an. With it is this cure and a mercy for the believers. If you're feeling lost, connect with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're feeling like your life has no purpose or meaning, connect with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're feeling like you have no direction, connect with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned an authentic report, glad tidings. This Quran, this book, one part of it is in your hands and the other part is with Allah. Meaning what? You have a link to the Creator. It is His speech, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you need anything, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're struggling, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want firmness and you're strong and you want to be more firm, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens if we cut off all avenues of reminders in our lives? What happens if we cut off access to the Quran? We are no longer listening day and night. We are no longer reciting, reviewing, memorizing, teaching, pondering. If we cut off all sources of reminders to the Quran, how do we expect to be reminded? We are human beings and we need reminders. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind, for verily the reminders benefit the believers. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ Surah Qaf, the last ayah. Remind through the Qur'an, through its teachings, through the speech of Allah, anyone who has any fear of what's to come, anyone who wants to take heed of the lesson or the warning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of people who benefit from the Qur'an on a daily basis. What is the link here? And how are we bringing in these different pieces of the puzzle, discussing Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, discussing the month of Ramadan and the concept of hope and the factor of the Quran. Look at the next ayah. In the same surah, in the same passage, after Allah mentions that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, He subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ If my servants ask about me, I am nearby. In the other ayat of the Quran which people are questioning, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ And they ask you about, the response is what? قُلْ Say, O Muhammad, the following. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am nearby. You don't need to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to access Allah. You can make dua to Allah directly. You can make dua to Allah directly. You don't need to go to the Prophet to confess your sins. You can confess to Allah directly. There is no confession process in Islam. We open up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Meaning what? Never feel that you cannot access Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is nearby. He is very close to you. If you feel lost and you want some kind of hope, you want some kind of return, you want some kind of feeling, then go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ I respond to the one who calls upon me when they call upon me. I want you to reflect. The only condition mentioned in this ayah, as well as a hadith we'll mention soon, the only condition here for you to have access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah responds to the one who asks of Him. Allah responds to the one who asks of Him. Do not get tired of asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He does not get tired of responding to you. The condition is that you ask of Him. In the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, the hadith Qudsi, Yabna Adam, O children of Adam, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكُ وَلَا أُبَالِي O children of Adam, as long as you call upon me and you have hope in me, I will forgive you for your sins and I do not mind. Allah wants to forgive. Do we want to seek His forgiveness? Allah wants to respond. Do we want to ask of Allah? Oftentimes the shaitan will come to a person and make them feel ashamed or guilty. You committed this sin 1,000 times. How dare you go back to Allah? Or the shaitan will go to someone and say, you repented so many times and now you're going to go and ask Allah for forgiveness? Or shaitan will cause people to think there is no hope for you. But in Islam, there is no concept of losing hope. We don't believe in hopelessness. This is not a concept that Islam encourages. Why? Giving up in religious or worldly matters is not an Islamic concept. You always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never give up. If you commit a sin 1,000 times and you fell short and you came back to Allah 1,001 times, you're doing what's right. What if you sinned again and you sincerely repented? Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until when? Until the heart starts beating. Until you return to Him. The believer never stops repenting. The believer never gives up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not give up. Allah did not give up on you. Why are you giving up on yourself? Someone came to Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. And he said, a man committed a sin and then repented and then committed a sin and then repented and then committed a sin and then repented. Shouldn't he feel ashamed going back to Allah again? He said he should continue to seek forgiveness from Allah. Otherwise, that's how the devil wants him to feel. Meaning what? You're so distant, you're not religious enough, you're not good enough, you don't pray properly, you don't wear hijab, you cuss, you do this and that. He wants you to feel like there's no hope for you. But we all struggle. And we have to continuously turn to Allah. Find any avenue, any hope, any opportunity, any rope, the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, to turn to Him. This concept here does not end at this part of the ayah. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشِدُونَ. Let them, the believers, the servants, also respond to me. Now you know how Allah responds to you. You make dua and Allah is responding to you in a way befit of His wisdom and majesty. But you as well, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, you as well have to respond to Allah and believe in Him. Why? So that you may gain success, happiness, salvation. How do we respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dua. The dua that you make. That dua morning and night. Dua for everything major and minor. That dua is your way of conversing with Allah. And the Quran is Allah's way of conversing with you. The speech that came to us for the rest of the world until the day of judgment. With the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is speaking to us. Are we responding? The one who accepts and the one who responds to the Quran, the one who responds to the teachings of the Quran, the one who responds by acting upon it, studying it, learning it, teaching it, conveying it. That person is applying the ayah, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Whoever accepts the guidance that comes to them in their era, in their time and place, there's no fear on this person, nor shall they grieve. If we're feeling lost, let us turn to the Quran. Let us turn to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will find in it a happiness that no material wealth can purchase. And we will find in it a value that is greater than anything of this world. As a minor analogy about the value of time during this blessed month of Ramadan, I want you to reflect on someone who works a corporate job or someone who works a specific number of hours a week. And their wages are specified, let's say $20 an hour. This is a minor analogy. Imagine if someone were told, this next 30 days of your work, any minute, any hour that you work is multiplied by 70, 700, 7,000, 70,000, or beyond that. Wouldn't most people work constantly? Wouldn't most people find it to be very precious this time and take advantage of it and remove the distractions that would stop them from gaining something they find to be valuable? What about the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is lasting eternally? The implications of good deeds are not limited to 100 years in this world. They're lasting. You're investing in something that is eternal. And we go back to the ayah that we began with, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا, O believers, اتقوا الله, be conscious of Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Let everyone reflect, what did you prepare for tomorrow? You know what you've prepared for your job? You know what you've prepared for that job interview the day before? The day before your wedding, you know what you've prepared for it? And yet, Allah brings the day of judgment as close as tomorrow. As close as tomorrow, because we forget and we think death and the hereafter is far away. But when Allah says ghad, it is out of His mercy because we forget, because it's distant, so He's bringing it closer to us. Our departure from this world could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next year. In order for us to make every day the greatest of days and every Ramadan the greatest of Ramadans, we have to bid farewell to it as if it's the last. We have to take advantage of it as if it's the last. We have to speak to our beloveds as if it's the last conversation and pray every prayer as if it's our last. All of these concepts come from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pray as if it is your last prayer. Salli salatu muwaddi'in. So during this blessed month of Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters, let us amplify what? The dua and the Quran amongst many other acts of worship. Your dua, take it to the next level. You speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, emptying your heart out in any language that you want. Take your dua to the next level. And the Quran, connect with it in a multifaceted manner. Listen to it frequently, read it often, reflect upon it. Try to memorize parts of it, study its tafsir. You will find in it a sweetness you cannot find anywhere else in this world. And the reality is that we don't reflect on the blessing that we have in our generation that no nation before us had. Which is that we have the ability to listen to recordings of the Quran anytime we want with thousands of reciters from across the globe. This is an additional way to connect to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who connect to His speech. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amplify our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, the major and the minor, the past, the present and the future, the ones that are public and the ones that are private. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. My dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is around the corner and it's not too late to prepare logistically, emotionally, religiously, financially, and so on and so forth, so that we are maximizing our time in Ramadan, so that we are maximizing our efforts in Ramadan, and so that we are removing any distractions that come about. A few years ago, a sister posted on social media about Ramadan in advance. She said, "Insha'Allah, this next Ramadan will be my month of hidayah, my month of guidance." And she ended up 3 weeks before Ramadan passing away in a car accident. May Allah have mercy on her and accept from her. We assume good of her and assume that she began the actions of change. Don't wait until that night from Sha'ban to Ramadan. If you're capable of changing then, we're capable of changing now. And if we're capable of changing now and then, we're able to change any time of the year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are constantly seeking that change. About 9 years ago, I believe, 8-9 years ago, in the month of Ramadan, after witr prayer, a young man comes up after salah and he was visibly crying. I said to him, "Assalamu alaikum," and he did not respond. He took out a phone with a keyboard and started typing very quickly. So he responded, "Assalamu alaikum, my name is such and such. And when I was 16 years old, I had finished memorizing the entirety of the Quran." He had recited the last ayah to his teacher. And a week after that, he lost the ability to hear. He said, "I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I was able to finish memorizing before I lost the ability to hear." Do we take advantage of this blessing of listening to the Quran, accessing it day and night? At least listen to the Quran on a daily basis. No day should go by without connecting to the speech of Allah in some facet. He said, "Sometimes in Ramadan, I would distantly hear the recitation in salah." He said, "Tonight I heard it and that's why I'm crying." He's crying out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we grateful for the blessings that we have? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people who are taking every day as a new opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hope and motivation day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate our dua and allow us to connect with His speech. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us life to Ramadan and allow us to benefit from every single day of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'mineena wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir li walidina wa li walidi walidina. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan waj'alna fihi min al maqbulin. Allahumma irzuqna husnal khatimah waj'al khayra ayyamina yawma نلقاك. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.